If you have your Bible this morning, will you turn with me to the 14th chapter of John? John chapter 14. And as you're turning there, let me introduce things, what we're going to do the next several weeks. We're going to talk about values. What are your values? Can you define them? How long would it take you? I'll go back to a story from years ago in our lives. We have an older son. Most half of y'all don't know him, Brandon. Brandon's 31 years old. And we were living in Middle Georgia at the time, and he was probably about 11, 12 years old, and he got to know this kid at school, and came up one Friday afternoon. He came home from school. He said, "Look, I want to go over to this kid's. I mean, they had played together and done things together and all." And he said, "I want to go over to his house and spend the night." Well, in a weak moment, his mother and I said yes. Oh, yeah, that'll be fine, because we knew the kid. And you got to remember, we were living in a small town. I was pastor at the biggest church there in town. You know, we knew a lot of people, you know, and the people we didn't know, they knew us. You know, it was county seat, town, all that kind of thing. And so we were kind of accustomed to, you just know everybody. You know where they live, and you know what's going on in their lives, but we said yes like that. Well, the next morning, we got a call from Brandon. He said, "Oh, you know, if y'all come to pick me up," and he was a little bit upset. You know, he just kind of mentioned a couple of things, and Audrey said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, you know." And as he begins to tell the story, we're thinking, you know, we didn't even know the parents. He said, it was okay the first part of the evening, but as night wore on, he's playing with his friend there, and he said everything was okay. He said, until the older brother came in that night, and brought his girlfriend in there. And he said, I'm being real transparent with you here. and he said, and I think they were doing something across the room they shouldn't have been doing. And she stayed there the rest of the night. Well, I don't think it takes much imagination to know what was going on there. For about a week, Audrey and I just kicked ourselves, because that's not something we had ever done or thought about, and we're probably paranoid about that today because of that. We sat Brandon down and we said, "Son, we obviously have different values." I remember us using that word with him. In this family, and explaining that. Now, it was a bad thing. I wouldn't want to put any child through that. A child, listen to me, a child should not have to be put through garbage like that. It shouldn't happen. Somebody's got to be the adult and say what's right and what's wrong and stick to it. We didn't do a very adult thing there. We let our son down because we let him go somewhere that we'd not checked out. Values. Are they important? Were they important that night? We say, oh, you know, that's just the way they believe, or that's the way they are. Yeah. Oh, really? You know, it's kind of like you can be all intellectual about it and academic about it until it's sitting on your front porch or in your living room or in your bedroom. Then it becomes real important, doesn't it? Values. The values that define us. What are they? What are they? Now, as we talk about this and over the next several weeks, I'm not going to be standing before you as somebody that's got all the answers or that has always done everything right, because Lord knows I've screwed up enough things in my lifetime. But I want you to hear the truth through what I speak to you, okay? John chapter 14, I believe, talks about values, beginning in verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We'll come back to that verse a number of times. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been here so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you today that you'll take this passage of Scripture to our hearts and you'll speak to us, Lord, today. I ask you, Lord, you'll speak through me. We bless you. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. We have 8 statements I want to make today. 8 things I want to say, I believe, come right out of this passage that we can see. Some are direct statements, some are applications that come from them. Here's the first. Our values are rooted in our identity. Over the next several weeks, I hope that we can define our values as a body of Christ, who we are, what we're about, what makes us tick. A value is a belief, a conviction that you hold, that you actually practice in your life. It's not something that is just up here. It's something that goes into your feet and into your hands. Now, our values are rooted in our identity, who we are. What is Jesus saying to Philip? What was in this whole passage as he is defining himself, that he really is the Son of God, that he is the revelation of God to man. He is defining his identity. And in that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is who I am. And then he goes on to talk about keeping. And if you say that you love him, what are you going to do? You're going to keep his commandments. That goes without saying. Not as we have it in our society, in our culture, which says you can have a belief over here, but have a practice that is much different. For them, in Hebrew mindset, those two went together. Our values are rooted in our identity, who we are. How many stories, how many times in your own family have you taken your children aside, or you remember your parents taking you aside and saying to you after you had stepped out of line and done something, and they looked you square in the face and said, that's not who we are. We don't do things like that. Have you ever heard that before? That's not how we act. That's not how we talk. That's not how we treat one another. Have you heard that before? Have you said that to your own children? Of course you have. What do you tell them? What's the message? Values are rooted in your identity. You're taking them back to their identity. You know what I believe our world is asking us today as Christians in our society? What's your true identity? Who are you really? And it's defined through your values. All right, secondly, our values are based on our beliefs. There's a belief system. And see, back to my story about my oldest son, Brandon. We had a belief system. There was no sex before marriage. That was something reserved for marriage between one man and one woman who come together in marriage for life. That's God's ideal. That's the idea. Now, I know that, you know, that gets broken in many ways in situations. But in our situation, we had a belief about that. And, you know, all this talk that he hears from us and all this training in the household, and then we willingly let him go into a situation where something absolutely different from that is going to be modeled before him. Do you get me? Now, don't look at me, parents, like you've never walked this road before. Because if you look at me that way, I'll know you're a liar. Right? Okay. So our values are based on our beliefs. They have a bedrock of belief. Third, our values are expressed in our worldview. How we look at things. How we interpret things. Today, now, one of the worldviews that I regularly share with you guys that I have is that Jesus is the way of salvation. And he's not a way, he is the way. There's no other way. That's a worldview that I have. That governs, it's a belief, it's a conviction of mine, but it's also, it governs my worldview, the way I look at things. So when I look at, say, someone coming in and wanting to teach my child that all roads are equally valid, you know, as long as you're spiritual. I read this occasionally. I'll read Dear Abby just for entertainment. And the question came in from this guy. Some of you may have read it this week. He said, "I'm an agnostic." And what that means, he doubts the existence of God. He said, "I was raised as a Christian. I'm an agnostic today, but I've got children now. And I'm wondering, what should I teach them?" Now, get Abby's... or whoever's writing it now. I don't think it's Abigail Van Buren. I think she's dead. Here's the answer that came back. Well, as long as you're spiritual in what you do, then it's okay. Just teach them the spiritual concepts and the value. Use that word. And the value. Spiritual value. Well, you know what? There are a lot of spiritual values that are different, aren't they? If I were coming to you today as a proponent, as there are in many countries around the world, of Islam, it would say that it would be all right for me to convert you with what? The Quran? The sword. Did you hear the guy, the imam? It's been 3 weeks ago now. And that one commentator was interviewing him one night, and he laid it out about Sharia law, what he wants there to be in this country. And let me tell you, before you launch out there and say, "Oh, just let all that come in," you're an ignoramus. I'll just be plain with you. You haven't read a thing about it. You don't know anything if you're saying, "Let that come in." And if you're a woman and you say, "Let that come in," then I know that you're ignorant of the facts of what it's like in the world, in Islamic countries that's taking place. Well, see, it matters. What spirit is involved in the spiritual, doesn't it? Did you know that Charles Manson, now I'm beyond some of you already when I said that name. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Oh, hey, you get out more than I thought. Did you know that Charles Manson fancies himself as being deeply spiritual? So, let's go back and plug that in to the answer back to the reader and say, well, as long as you're going to teach your child something spiritual, in parentheses, like Charlie Manson, then it's okay, right? Does your worldview matter? You better believe it matters. How you see things. How you interpret things. All right, let's go on. Number four. Our values are on trial in the world today. Do you agree with that statement? Every parent in here better be shaking their head. Because you've got a battle royale every day on your hands with your children. Because when they leave your sight, there are all sorts of people out there that want to gain their minds and their hearts and their bodies. Now, years ago, I had a mission in downtown Savannah, 39th and Habersham. They've redone that house now, and it looks a lot better than how it looked when we were there. But I had guys from the neighborhood. We would have a Sunday school, and then I had a daily club time with them every day of the week. It was a wonderful thing. Had a number of kids that came in there, came from single-parent homes. And I was upstairs. I had a pool table and some games and all upstairs where they could play up there. Every afternoon, these boys would come over, and you know, the girls too. But being a guy, and I was in college at the time, the guys, we just kind of naturally clung to one another, and I had a heart for those boys. And I remember one of the guys, his name was Mikey. I won't tell you his last name. You might know him. He and his brother would come over there. Mikey was about 12 years old. And he said, Mr. Dusty said, will you help us get home today? I said, Mikey, what are you talking about, son? He said, look out the window. He said, see that guy right there? He said, he's been bothering us every day on the way home from school. Guy was a Muslim. He said, he won't leave me alone. Now, this isn't bash every other religion here today, but this is tell the truth about what is going on. What do you reckon would happen if I stood out there on that day and was standing on that street corner? I took action. I told the guy, get away from these guys. They don't want you following them home. They don't want you in their life. Now, if you talk to their parents, their parents are willingly letting them come over here. But if you're following them around, I don't want you around them. He's an adult. Our values are on trial today. Are they on trial in the public arena? What are some of the things that creep up in our society and show a clash of values? Over and over again. Right now, we've got things going on in our city. And you see the head of racism come up and bring up its ugly head, don't you? Regardless of which side of any issue, anything you're on, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about this ancient sin that confronts our values again and again. How about when you turn the TV on? Is there a confrontation of values there? Do you just let your kids watch whatever they want to watch? Whoever they want to watch on TV, there's a confrontation of values and they're on trial. You let a Christian say something today in the public marketplace. Just watch it. Just stay behind it and watch it in the public arena. And see if there's a cost that is associated with them speaking. Number five, our values are not popular. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, that's one way, right? Is that popular? Now, if you're going to follow Jesus, then here's what it means. It means that there is no other way of salvation. Do you believe that? Do you believe it or not? That's what he said. He's either the answer or not the answer. Which is it? He can't be just one of the choices. We either put it all with him or not. You see, that was what was at issue even during his time. Because there are plenty of religions, just like we've got plenty of religions. You know, probably the biggest religious battle that we have going on is the religion called secular humanism. Which puts man at the center. But all false religions do that anyway. It puts man at the center of everything. Are your values popular? I want to ask you, are your values popular at work? Are your values popular when you say to somebody, I'm not in any political party's back pocket? Are they popular? Is that a popular thing to say today? No. You see, I don't trust any politician. I trust Jesus. I know I'm really getting in, digging in today. Probably going to offend everybody today. But I think that's what Jesus does. Number six, our values are a threat to the world as we know it. Do you believe that's true? That you're a threat, what you believe, who you say you are, is a threat to the world? Is that a threat to the people who want you to just cave in? Who want you to have their same values and say that it's okay? Let me ask you. Is this important when it comes to training our children? Where they are in school? Are they a threat today? Are our values a threat? Let me ask you this. Are there people in the world today that would target you just because you're a Christian? Who would kill you? You believe that? Read not just our newspapers. Get on the internet and read what's going on outside of the filters of our Western world. You know, we're going back to Nigeria. I've been trying to read about what's going on over there right now to get a sense of that, and not after it's been filtered through all these American and Western filters. And in our culture, I want to see what's really happening there. Because I'm telling you, one of the ways that I know that racism is still a problem in this country is because I can see something that happens in one country over here, and it might just be one person that's killed, and you got 300 or 400 that are killed in this other country, and it's not even on the news. That's wrong. I'm not asking you to agree with me, because I know that's wrong, and you know that's wrong. You see? These are real issues. Our values. Number seven. Our values will one day be the norm in the world. When's that going to be? When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, when did he stop being the way? Never. That's right. He's going to be the way, the truth, and the life forever. I can't even say to my children, I'll always be there with you, and I will protect you no matter what. Can I say that to them and mean it and carry it through. Oh, I may think that from my heart. I may believe that, but it doesn't make it so because I don't have that kind of power. There's only one person who has that kind of power. It's the Lord Jesus. And when He says, "And lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the age," that's what He means. One day, He's going to come and He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. He's going to show us how it should be done. When He comes back and sets things up, He's going to set it in place. And the values that we say we believe today will be the norm of society. So it kind of makes you understand why John, the Revelator, would say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He's wanting Him to come and set up His reign and rule. Because what happens when Jesus sets up His reign and rule anywhere? It changes. And it stands out. And we stand out when He changes our lives. Has He changed your life? Finally, our true values are shown in the way that we live. That's what Jesus was saying here. This isn't just talk. He said, "If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to live it out. You're going to live. It's going to be shown." You know what my dream is? To see heaven on earth. And how can that be possible? Here's how it's possible. You want to see the kingdom of God come? Then you let the kingdom of God come through you. And you practice your faith. And you put it on the line out there. And you say, "I'm not going to be committed to anybody or anything but Jesus first." And it's going to show in my life. It's going to show in the way I live. It's going to show in my city. I want to see that in my lifetime. I get glimpses of it. And we're a body here that God has placed in this city. You know, it's interesting. Our church started in the burbs and has moved consistently. Where? Into the city. God has placed us here to be salt and light, and for us to be the body of Jesus and to live out our values. And that doesn't mean we're, you know, catching people on the street and we're, you know, get a big family Bible and carry it around and beat people over the head with it and all that. You know, all that gives is them is a sore head and you a bad reputation. Because what people want to know is, did Jesus change your life? Are you different? Are you different in the way you spend your money? Are you different in the way you treat your fellow man? Are you doing what He said? Are you practicing that? Are you living it out? Are you feeding the poor? Are you clothing the naked? Are you giving shelter to those who don't have shelter? Are you being the church? Are you being the body of Jesus where you work with the people that are dying by inches, and they don't need somebody to come and preach them some guilt-ridden sermon? They need the love of Christ to cut through that garbage that has come into their lives and show them that they are loved by God. And that love is not based on what you look like. It's not based on what your education is. It's not based on who your mom and daddy happen to be, what color your skin is, or how you smell or don't smell. It's simply based on the love of Jesus, who loves us unconditionally. Now that's the real story. Whether we know it or not, our values are out there on the street. How are we being defined? By the values that we express that are out there. I've told you this story before. Some of you hadn't heard this, but I'll tell you this one because I don't know, the racism idea has just been heavy on my heart. And that's a blight that needs to go from our society. Years ago, we had a couple in our church. She was Anglo, he was African American, and we got to be pretty good friends with them. They were over at our house having dinner one night. In fact, they had come into town. They'd moved away and come back, and the lady. They'd been around other cities and at times had been mistreated because of racism on both sides, I might add, of that equation. And I came in there, and she was sitting on a little stool in Logan's room. Logan was about 5 or 6 years old. And I saw her. She was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I can't believe what I just heard." And she pointed up to this picture of Logan's basketball team. And on his basketball team, there were all these kids who looked alike, except for one. Logan was only Anglo in the picture. The rest were African American. He had taken the picture down off the wall, and he said, "Here, let me show you which one is me." It makes me cry today. That's how it's going to be in heaven. Let me show you which one is me. It's good news, brothers and sisters. We're not going to be in this world forever. He's coming back. He's going to set it right. But until he does, I've got to do just what he would do if he were here. And it's not if he is here. He is here. He is Lord. He does reign and he does rule. And through our lives, what are we going to do about it? Our values define us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for speaking to me today. I don't know if anybody else got a message today, but I did. I ask you, Lord. I ask you. Every part of us that doesn't look like you today, I'm asking you to change it. Lord, I love the people that are here in this room. I thank you for them. Lord, some of us have known each other for a long time. But you have gathered us together for a purpose, to be your body, for us to look like you. I'm asking you, Lord, today, conform us to your image. With all of our Jesus kin who are here. Lord, some of us today are hurting real bad. We've things going on in our lives we don't understand. We're crying out to you. Come help us today, Lord. Come. Do what only you can do. Change our hearts. Change our lives. And Lord, for many of us, I'm praying, change the circumstances. But Lord, if you don't change the circumstances, change the person that's in the circumstances. But come do something, Lord. Come. And I know you will. And you're ready to do that. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's never received Christ in their lives. I ask you. Lord, may this be the day of salvation. Lord, may we be filled with your Spirit today. Come, Spirit of God. Come. The altar's open. Folks are here to pray with you. Come, if you like, today. Filled. The whole earth. Anybody got a need today? Financial need? Oh, man. Wait a second. Let me ask that one more time. I don't think you have a financial need, anybody? Oh, yeah. I thought, yeah. I was speaking Greek there for a minute. You didn't understand me. You got any family needs? Relationship needs? Work needs? Who's the great need meter? Jesus. You know, I go to those meetings, those guys ask those questions, I just keep my hand up. In fact, put both of them up. Let's pray right now. Lord, you're interested in us. And so, God, I'm praying that all of us have put our hands up about need. Lord, our first need is of you. That you would be in charge. You would reign and rule in our lives. So Lord, we put ourselves before you and then we lay out these needs. Say, Lord, here am I. Come, Lord Jesus. Come with your power. Come with your strength. We make this prayer in his name. If you have an offering to bring or you have those cards, we'd like to get those from you now. The baskets at the back, baskets at the front. Just bring them on now. Don't delay.